Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. I'll give you a few minutes. I still hear Bibles turning. It's good to hear Bibles turning. We're going to talk about Bibles a little bit here tonight. I love the Bible. I'm glad I've got one.
Amen.
I believe, but I'm glad I got one that's got every word in it.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about it.
Yes,
I don't have to go ask some Greek scholar somewhere if they perhaps one or two words they missed. I don't have to worry about the unfortunate translations.
Amen.
Don't have to worry about none of that stuff. If there's a word in there I don't understand, God also gave me a Webster's dictionary.
Amen.
Amen. I can. They's also, besides a Webster's dictionary, there's grammar teachers. I can go ask them. Of course, yeah. Grammar teachers are not too fond of me. They don't even like to be around me. I murder the English language. But anyway, I'm glad I got a Bible.
Amen.
Glad I have a Bible tonight that I can go to and open up and read, and it helps me.
Amen.
This is not just some book I go to get ideas for preaching on Sunday.
Right.
This is not a book I go to try to prove the reason I'm a Baptist.
Right.
This is a book that I go to and it teaches me truth.
Amen.
It establishes me.
Yes.
It gives me solid ground to stand on. We're going to talk about the Bible a little bit tonight, among other things. But I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit of sermon. This is a graveyard we're about to visit. A whole valley full of bones. A whole valley full of bones. I looked through the Bible and I'm sure there's a couple of more. I couldn't think of what they was off the top of my head, but there's a valley of dry bones, and there's a valley of vision, and there's a valley of the shadow of death, and there's a valley of decision. There's a lot of valleys in the Bible. A lot of valleys in the Bible. But here, this evening, we're going to talk about that valley of dry bones. And I'm going to try to preach you a sermon titled, Up from a Graveyard of Fools. And the reason I say that, let me get something here. See this little Bible here? That's my mother's Bible. But before that was my mother's Bible, that was her cousin's Bible. And her cousin's older than her by a few years. But my cousin had this Bible when she went to the White Plains Baptist Church. And I got to looking through this thing the other day. And my mama's cousin gave her this Bible when my mama was 16 years old in 1965. But I got to looking through this thing last week. And I saw where Preacher Lackey, my old preacher, here's one, October the 27th, 1968, a sermon that he preached. And I got to looking through here, and there's all kinds of sermons in here from different preachers. Mays Jackson in 1958. I got to looking through that and started seeing some of that old stuff, and I got a little bit happy. Then I turned back over and I said, well, if I caught all that stuff in the back, let me turn over here to the front and see what I missed. And there's a signature here by C.T. Lackey. That's Carl T. That's the real C.T. right there. That other one I don't know much about. But this one right here, Carl T. But I got to looking at that. That thrilled my soul a little bit. I turned over a few pages. And you'll never believe what I found right here on the front page of Genesis. See all that red marking right there? That was a good long time ago that marking was made. Sermon right here on the front page of it says April 10th. 1957, Preacher Carl Lackey preached out of Genesis 1:1. And then I found here, just happened to look there and notice, it's all fade out, you can probably see it scribbled right there. That's a prayer that's been wrote in the front of this book. My mama wrote that prayer in 1965. Let me read it to you. It said, God give me strength to stick with you.
Amen.
That's a good prayer. It says, show me the right way, period. Help me lead a good life, please. It says, thank you. Jackie, age 16, October the 6th, 1965. That's a 16-year-old girl right there.
Amen.
Before that girl was 17, she was married. Got married to a fool. Pulled her out of church. My mother will be 61, and she just turned 61 years old. I love her to death. Lived a hard life because of hard decisions and bad decisions. In my family, I see these folks one after another that turned their back on the old White Plains Baptist Church and that old preacher that preached to them the straight, honest gospel truth and lived a hard life.
Right.
And a whole lot of them in a graveyard of fools tonight. I was in here praying the other night and the thought crossed my mind, and before I had even thought of this message, I said, Lord, thank you for where you brought me from and what you brought me through and how you brought me up from a graveyard of fools. And that thing stuck, and the Lord said, that's what I want you to preach on this coming Sunday. And the Lord said, the text is going to be Ezekiel chapter 37. And I said, yes, sir, thank you. I went in there and began to look at the text and try to write down a few things. And I happened to look over on the shelf and I saw that Bible. And went over there and started looking through it. When I seen that prayer, the Lord said, you really did come up from a graveyard of fools, and you better never stop being thankful for it. If we knew where we could have ended up had we not met the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be in bad shape indeed. We'd be in terrible shape. So I want to preach to you tonight about how God brought me up and how God brought you up and how God will bring up anybody that needs bringing up. You just put your trust in these things and let God do what He knows He can do and what He loves to do. I believe God loves to redeem sinners.
Amen.
I believe He loves to see it. I believe God loves to see the change in men's heart that comes about from the gospel. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me go ahead and go to prayer. Lord, I pray with all my heart, God, You'd help me to preach tonight. Lord, have mercy as I try to preach this, God. Lord, laying aside all kinds of notes and pre-programmed thoughts, I pray, Lord, that You'd just help me for a few minutes to lift You up, God. According to this passage of Scripture, God, help me to be honest with it. Help me to be true to it. God, help the truth of it to come out, God. Lord, we know that the Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful, God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would come and walk among us tonight. And Lord, plant these seeds, God. Every single one of us who's born again got the Holy Ghost in our heart, the Holy Spirit in our heart. And God, I pray with all my heart that You'd help us to see the truths of these matters. Help us to apply it to our life. We'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Amen. Now let's just look in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. And we'll start reading here down through about the first 10 verses. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's go back to verse number 1. That's a great passage of Scripture. And by the way, before we get started, that passage concerns Israel primarily and chiefly. But I think we can find some truths in here that'll fit us tonight. That'll do us just fine. Verse number 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. You know, that's my prayer request for each and every one of you. That's my prayer request for me. I want the hand of the Lord to be on me. I certainly do. The hand of the Lord was upon me, he said. If the hand of the Lord is upon you, the business is about to pick up.
Amen.
If the hand of the Lord will get upon you, you are not going to have quite as many problems as you go around moping about day by day. If the hand of the Lord upon you, things about to pick up. Now listen, when we begin to read these passages of Scripture, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll preach about the outcome. To me, the outcome is a foregone conclusion. Listen, if God gets involved with these bones, they have an expected end.
Yes.
You think God's going to get a hold of them and they come to naught? You think God's going to get a hold of them and they come to ruin? No, sir, they're already bones.
Amen. Yeah.
How worse off could they get than bones except if they get turned into hell? If God gets a hold of these bones, things are going to look up. Things are going to improve. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Listen, if you could just get the hand of the Lord upon you,
yes,
things are going to look up. Amen. Things are going to change. I can remember laying in the bed in a Marine Corps barracks, living just exactly the way I wanted to live, and doing just exactly the way every other boy around me was doing. But I can remember laying there and the hand of the Lord be on me for chastening. And I believe, Brother Steve, he was just standing there like this, putting his weight on me. How's that feel? You sleeping good, son? You say, I don't believe God does that. You don't know how God loves His children. God will leave 99 to chase one. He's concerned with His children. Before they throw that lamb up on their shoulders, they break that leg so they can't get away no more. Better they break their leg than break their neck. The hand of the Lord was upon me, but I thank God that this is not the hand of the Lord not on him for chastening right here. The hand of the Lord's on him for leadership, for guidance. I wouldn't trade that for nothing in the world, for me or for you, for me or for this church. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. I want the hand of the Lord to be on me. When I go out into town, Brother Curtis, I want them to know it. I want them to feel it. I'm not much for feelings, but if they get them a dose while I'm in the checkout line, that'll be fine with me. I want them to know that there's something going on. Listen, the other night when I was in here praying, and I saw the headlights pull up through that window back there, and some folks got out and began to roll down their window, and they was just sitting out there, and no place to be, sitting on a Friday night or a Saturday night, whenever it was, sitting in the church parking lot carrying on, not unless you're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was already in here praying, so I just moved to the back and prayed just as loud as I could. Next thing I heard, something going on in there. Something somebody don't want to hang around to see. That's what I want. I want the hand of the Lord to be on me. I don't want folks... Listen, folks may at some point their finger and laugh and talk about a Christian fanatic, but they're going to go home, and they, when they put their head on their pillow, they're going to know that they've met a Christian.
Yes, sir.
If so be that the hand of the Lord will be on me.
Amen.
If so be that God will be merciful to me and lend me just a little bit of that power that comes with the gospel.
Amen.
Just a little bit of that power that comes with the word. I want that. I desire that. I covet that. The hand of the Lord was upon me, he said.
Amen.
But listen, the hand of the Lord don't come on you for no apparent reason. No, sir. No, sir. Away with this religion where we just come down to a church house and God puts His hand on people and they roll around in the floor and go home and their life ain't changed. I don't believe in that kind of religion. That's not the kind of religion I believe in at all. I believe the hand of the Lord will do something for you. Listen to what it says here. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. It seems to me like every time God puts His hand on an old boy, He'll take him right out there in the wickedest bunch of folks and set him right down in the middle of them. God didn't call nobody to set him down in the church cheaply. I wouldn't give you $2 for a preacher that won't go on visitation. Not $2.
Yeah.
Not a dollar and a half.
Yeah.
No, sir. Yeah. Get a preacher, come in a place like this and begin to preach and begin to teach and folks begin to come. And then after about, 35 or 40 begin to come, he'll cut down from 3 hours of visitation to 2. Or 6 hours of visitation to 4. And then, folks get up about 100 or 200 or 300. I believe I'll let these other fellows go. Because after all, I've got so much to do. No, sir. If the hand of the Lord's upon you, He's going to pick you up and take you where you need it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If the Lord would have saw that big multitude by the seaside there and fed them all bread and preached to them and stepped back and said, well, they can all come meet me here every day. No, sir. He set his face towards Jerusalem and he walked every day. He said, my Father worketh, I must work. He said, I got a job to do. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Now in this regard, I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where, and the Lord also said, other than that, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst.
Amen.
Well, the Lord said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, he said, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Well, the way I see it is, the Christian life is where there's two or three sinners gathered, there you'll be in the midst. I didn't mean to bust up y'all's party, fellas, but I just wanted to tell y'all about the Lord. One of them says a cuss word, you know how they do down at the workplace, GD this and GD that. Just walk over there and said, hey, fellas, suppose God answered y'all's prayer. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you just ask him to damn everything, suppose he does. And watch him go, oh. One of them says, Jesus Christ. Walk over there and say, y'all know my Savior? Go over there and get in the midst. Go over there and get in the midst. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Let me tell you, it's full.
Amen.
There's no shortage of sinners.
Right.
Oh, you know, I'd witness, but I just can't find nobody I can really talk to. I don't believe that. Listen, if I go out on visitation, knock on somebody's door, and they tell me they're a member of such and such a Baptist church, independent, fundamental, and they go every time the door's open, I'll say, do you know Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I'm not going to take it for granted that that person's saved just because they're hanging Baptist around their neck.
Amen.
Or Church of God or Pentecostal or any other thing. I want to know, do you know Jesus?
Amen.
I want to know, do you know the Savior that died on Calvary for you? I like that song we were singing a while ago. That first part of the second verse sticks in my mind all the time. I love the Christ who died on Calvary. That's what it's all about. It's not about independent Baptist this or fundamental separated that. It's about, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him?
Amen.
When you get a hold of God, and when God gets a hold of you and puts His hand on you, He'll take you right out in the midst of them and set you down and say, burn, baby. Burn. And you ought not be ashamed to do it. You got the power to do it. You got the strength to do it. Set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Plumb full. But look what He says. He says, He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very dry. Not only is folks lost, they very lost.
Right.
Not only are Christians backslid, they very backslid.
Yeah. Amen.
Very backslid. Some of you would be out in the valley of dry bones today and tomorrow and the next day, except for you, very dry. Very dry. Very dry. Very dry.
Yeah.
You say, what else could a bone be but dry? You know, you're probably thinking about your bones inside your body there. You probably think, well, they're probably dry right now, but you don't think about what's inside your body. You don't think what's inside your bone. You know what leukemia is?
Yeah,
bone marrow. The blood gets in there and has to mix right and has to make right inside that bone marrow. You know what a lot of Christians' problem is? They're handling the blood wrong. Do I have to elaborate on that? You fooling around with something you don't know nothing about, and it'll dry you out, buddy. A lot of us done despite to the Spirit of grace when we come down here, asked the Lord to save us, and went home and sat on our couch and watched television 24 hours a day, read the Harlequin Romance 24 hours a day, and we got time to do everything under the sun except for crack a Bible open, go to church when we ought to.
Yeah, right.
You're doing despite to the Spirit of grace. God shed His blood so you could come here.
Amen.
God shed His blood so you could... They talk about the blood that the martyrs shed so we could have this book. What about the blood that Jesus shed?
Amen.
I realize some folks died in order to get this book printed right here, but I'm going to take it all the way back to Jesus and give Him the glory for it. Give Him the honor for it. Don't you think that's the right thing to do?
Amen.
So what's wrong with us today, Brother Mike? Very dry. Very dry.
Amen.
Very dry. It says there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. I believe the sinners would do better if we would do better.
Amen.
Look around at all this trouble. We was talking about some of the trouble we got in the world today, this morning. I was trying to get that off your shoulders a little bit, and I hope you'll pay attention to what the sermon was about this morning and maybe free yourself up a little bit from some of your nervousness, some of your twitches. People walk around just about insane these days. If they don't have pills, they can't make it.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to pull some of that off of you. Some of that stuff that's going wrong out in the world today, you could put a stop to it just by living a Christian life. Yes, sir. I've seen times where those fellas at work was the biggest cussers you ever seen until you witnessed to them a couple of times. Some of that stuff will cut out. Yes, sir. You go back in this country 100 years and a man wouldn't even cuss in front of a woman. Now the women cuss so bad the men can't hardly stand it.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very dry. You know what Christians are this day and time? They're very dry. They're very dry. They're very dry. And as a result, lost people are getting harder and harder and harder and harder. You go back 100 years and ask an old sinner somewhere what the Word of God was, and if you had it in your hand, he'd say, right there. You couldn't go back 150 years and find a fellow working in a field or cutting his grass or building a barn nowhere in this country on a Sunday. You just couldn't do it. You just couldn't find it. You say, what's the problem? You couldn't go anywhere in this country 100 years ago and find a queer pride march.
Amen.
You couldn't find something like that.
Amen. Amen. Right.
You couldn't find nobody walking down the street, "I'm gay and proud of it."
That's
nothing to be proud of.
Amen.
That's unnatural.
Amen.
That's ungodly.
Amen.
That's ungodly. But you say, what's happened? Preachers shut up.
Right.
Preachers started caring more about politics and paychecks.
Amen.
There ain't nothing funny about a queer.
No.
Not one thing. But they put them on your television set and they make them the funny character, so you'll sit there and laugh at him for 30 minutes an hour, and after that you'll say, well, they ain't so bad. He's funny.
Yeah.
What good's funny going to do in hell?
Amen.
What good's funny going to do in a hospital full of AIDS? What's funny about that? Nothing funny about that. You say, how did we get to this shape? Christians shut up.
Amen.
Christians got dry. Brother Mike, too. We got dry. We got to where we wouldn't say nothing about nothing.
Right.
Don't be afraid to say something about something.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
You say, what's the problem? You dry. Very dry. Oh, dry Christian. You can tell the way you dry when the service gets up and the song, they start singing extra good and people start going, amen.
Right.
What'd you do? You just embarrassed yourself for agreeing with the Lord? For agreeing with the good spirit? If that fella broke off 65 yards and run for a touchdown and nobody touched him, and you're in your living room, go! Go, 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 go! And that fella can't even hear you. Come to church, this is such a holy place, and you know I just don't. I'm a little bit on the pious side, you know. I'm a little dignified. You're not dignified. You're dry. And you might be just a little bit religious and a little bit lost. The possibility is you don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you. You got the spirit of that sport out there and the spirit of that competition, but you might not have the spirit of the Lord inside you. Because if you had the spirit of the Lord inside of you, He'd pick you up by the nape of your neck if he had to, and he'd lead you out in the middle of the valley of dry bones, and he'd set you down. And before too long, after being there before too long, I want you to look down at verse number 7. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking.
Amen.
You ever seen anybody get under conviction?
Yeah.
I've seen them walk right out that back door and shake their hand. They said, sure was glad to be here, preacher. I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back. They must be meaning when I have my funeral or something. Because I ain't seen them yet. You say, what's the matter? People get to shaking. People get to shaking. Whenever God gets involved with something, folks will start making a noise. I'm not talking about getting completely disastrous or anything in here, start throwing songbooks at one another or anything like that. But I'm talking about it's okay for you not to be so dry and to say amen once in a while and maybe stick your hand in the air. The Bible says lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Maybe you got a little bit too much wrath and doubting in your heart. You don't have to be mad at everybody all the time and upset with everybody all the time. And you don't have to walk around doubting. Well, I don't know if this is the Spirit of God or not. Well, is it the same Spirit you get on your couch watching television every night? No, it's not. It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out what the Spirit of God is. It's the thing you run from all the time. It's the thing that tells you. It's the same voice that tells you, don't do that. When you begin to reach for something and the Holy Spirit, don't do that. That's the voice you listen to. The one that says, it'll be alright. Nobody's ever going to know about it. It ain't going to hurt nobody. If something in my head said, it ain't going to hurt nobody, I'd run just as fast as I could. It's going to hurt you. Could be it'll kill you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
he said, son of man, can these bones live? We was talking about this yesterday. That is indeed the best answer that has ever been given.
Yes, sir.
To God Almighty.
Amen.
And you ought to do a study sometime in your spare time, if you can spare God any time. You ought to do a study sometime about the questions that God has asked man. Just start right over there with Adam. Where art thou? That'd be a good place to start. God pulled out old Ezekiel here and set him down in the middle of this dry bones, and he'll do the same thing with you. If you'll go downtown in the middle of Main Street tomorrow, he'll ask you the same thing. He'll say, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And then he'll do the same. He does the same thing to me. I'll get in here sometime and I'll say, Lord, oh brother so-and-so, they need this. And listen, I'm praying this stuff for you. There's no use in you coming here if you don't need help or don't want help. If you're going to live like hell, just go somewhere else and live like hell. And when you want help, I'd be glad to help you. I'd be glad to preach to you. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you and counsel with you. But until you want the hand of the Lord to get on you, I hope he puts all the pressure possible on you. But as long as you're here, I'm going to pray for you. If you make the mistake of coming through the back door of the People's Baptist Church, you're ruined because somebody's going to be praying for you. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. But sometimes I'll look in here and I'll say, now Lord, so-and-so needs help. And the Lord will say, you think they can get help or you're just picking on them? I say, Lord, that brother right there and that sister right there, they sure do need help because they sure need to get that thing fixed up. And the Lord said, do you really care if they get fixed or you just want a better church environment? I believe with all of my heart and soul that some preachers lay down a bunch of convictions on folks so that when another evangelist comes in or when another preacher comes in, they can say, look what I've done here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
My people don't use NIVs. Well, first of all, they ain't your people, bud.
Amen.
They God's people.
Right.
They God's people. And the Lord says, I'll let you preach to them if you want to get them some help.
Amen.
Yes, sir. A lot of preachers. I say a lot of preachers are going to go to heaven and give an account for beating God's sheep.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir. I'm afraid so too. He said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Obviously, he wanted Ezekiel to look at them and give them a little examination and see whether or not he even cared if they lived or not.
Yeah.
And after he got to looking at them, he said, I don't know. He said, but you do.
Amen.
You know, I used to pray all the time as a preacher. I used to say, Lord, what can I get up and say that would challenge people's heart? He said, nothing. I said, Lord, give me that one message that if I get up in the pulpit and I preach it and I slave over it and I pray over it and I do everything I can, give me that one message, God, that'll change their hearts and lives. He says, it don't exist.
Yeah.
God spoke out of heaven right there in front of the children of Israel while the mountain smoked and boiled and moved at His presence. Spoke right out of heaven. They said, you better be careful when God starts asking questions. Because if you start thinking about the question a little bit, you'll find yourself in a mess. God sent Joshua out there with a message one day and said, choose you this day who you'll serve. They said, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua laughed in their face and said, you can't serve the Lord. You think he was joking about that? He gave them the greatest revelation in their life. And they passed it right on by and said, oh yeah, we'll serve Him. Lay it on us. And He said, okay, you're a witness against yourself. And they've been paying for it ever since.
Yes.
You ever heard about a nation that takes more pains and takes more tribulation and takes more trials than the nation of Israel? You don't know one. God comes out here with Ezekiel, Brother Curtis, and He talks about that same nation. He said, can these bones live? Ezekiel was a wise man. He said, I don't know, but you do. I don't know, but you... Listen, stop trying to change... Let me get on with the point. Stop trying to change your uncle and your brother and your sister and your cousin and say, God, will you do it? Take your hands off of it. You know what it does when you put your hands on somebody? It bothers them.
Can I pick on you a little while? You need to stop what you're doing. You know, it's bad what you've been doing. You need to get right with God. And you need to... I'm not saying stop witness, but I'm going to give you a good example right here. The Bible says, he that is a heretic after the first or second admonition, reject. Step back from it. Take your hands off of it. You go to witness to somebody and you tell them what the gospel is, but if you keep coming back every day and fooling with him and messing with him and blocking the Holy Spirit from doing His work in their heart, pretty soon they're going to, get off of me!
Right.
Yeah. Bothering me.
Right.
They all harden their heart to it.
Right.
You may not ever get
them
won that way.
Amen.
Ezekiel said, Lord, I don't know if they could live or not, but you know. The Lord said to me, son, you don't worry about preaching a message that will change their hearts. You just get up there and preach.
Amen.
And let me take care of the doing and the changing and the molding and the making.
Yeah, right.
And the making. So I hadn't worried about none of that stuff yet. Sometimes I get up here and act like a complete fool and stutter and stumble and talk funny and people laugh. And then they call me in the middle of the night, Brother Mike, that's rough stuff right there. I said, well, I can't help you. I can't help you. What you have to do is get in touch with God. What you have to do is get down. If something's bothering you, get down on your knees and forsake it. Get down on your knees and repent over that thing for a while. Can these bones live? I don't know, he says. I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And look what he says here. He says, two quick points here, maybe three. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There's two things in there. There's preaching, and there's the word of God. You know what we need in this country more than we need in... Let's forget the country for a minute. You know what we need in People's Baptist Church more than we need anything else? It's preaching and the word of God. It needs to be right preaching. It needs to be holy preaching. I'm done with these silly little evangelists and preachers that run all over the place talking about how it used to be. Those men I was talking to you about out of this little Bible a while ago, talking about what they'd done. Oliver B. Green and Lester Roloff and Carl Lackey and Mays Jackson and Oliver B. Green. I don't know if I said him or not, but all these fellas they talk about, they used to do it this way. And we're going to be like them. Not with that kind of preaching you're doing, you ain't. Not patting people on the back in their sins, you're not.
Right.
Listen, what is wrong if sin crucified your Savior? What is wrong with you going down to your house and doing a checkup to see whether or not anything in your house would be offensive to the God that saved you and purchased you with His own blood?
Amen.
Would there be anything wrong with that? Would I offend you if I asked you to do that? It shouldn't be an offense to you. If He gave so much for us, it ought to be a reasonable service for us to make such a sacrifice. And that's what he said it was. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's what he asked us to do. He said, prophesy upon these bones. He didn't even say prophesy to them. I pay attention to stuff. I really do. I like to see the way things are wrote in the Bible. I believe it means something. He didn't say preach to Philip. Go in there and preach to Philip. And he'll get right with God. He'll be a great man of God. But that's not what the Bible said. He said prophesy upon these bones. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if it goes over your head or around you or straight through your heart. I don't care where it goes. God gave me a message. Come and preach it and leave it up to God where it goes.
Right. Amen.
Can you see Ezekiel out there right in front of a big old pile of bones? Let's all of us turn in our hymn book, page 356. I hear stories about preachers when they first got called to preach. Nobody let them preach, so they'd go out in the middle of the woods and preach to the oaks and the elms and the cherry trees and this, that, and the other thing. I never done that, by the way. But I always imagined it. You got the oak tree for the song leader over here, and you got the cherry tree over here standing behind him going, Alan Ryman, stop.
That's it.
And if the wind comes and blows that tree over like this, that's just Alan going,
Yeah, amen.
Just act like a complete nut. You know, it don't matter much. Listen, I would never condone just being stupid in church. But listen, if you got the hand of the Lord on you and you're prayed up and you've been reading your Bible, you ought to just come to the pulpit and preach and let the truth do its work. And if people don't like it, let them lump it.
There you go.
Let them lump it. You say, don't you care about folks, Brother Mike? Listen, don't talk to me about caring about folks when you'll let somebody go down to their house and smoke themselves to death. I heard a preacher in Carl Lackey's, I'd call his name if I could remember his name. But in the pulpit that Carl Lackey preached in for years and years and years, I heard a little punk stand up and say, you ought not tell people they can't smoke out front because it might run them off. Well, if they want to go to hell over a cigarette, that's their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no smoking lamp out front. This is not the Navy.
Amen.
This is a church house. This is God's house.
Amen. Yeah.
We got away from that kind of thing, and therefore we're dry. Mm-hmm. Very dry. Right. Sinners, listen, sinners ought not be able to come in here and feel at ease.
Amen. Amen.
Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind if some of you folks got upset a little bit once in a while. If you get mad at me just a little bit and go home and think a little while, your life might change for the better.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Is that right or wrong?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. Are you beginning to see how to get raised up from a graveyard of fools? Mm-hmm. When we think about it, and especially when we compare ourselves to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, ain't that really what we all are anyway? Amen. See, the problem is you've been comparing yourself to that brother in church that you don't like so well.
Amen.
You've been comparing yourself with one another for so long, and the Bible says that's not wise. Yeah. If you compare yourselves among yourselves, the Bible says that's not wise. That's not wise. Well, let's see here. In most circles, I'm having the will of God right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forgot my white shirt. I prefer a white shirt. I only got one that fits. If I wore it every service I come to, you'd really be offended at me. But that's what we do. We compare ourselves that's among right. ourselves.
Amen.
And we forget there's a better standard.
Yeah, that's right.
You know there's a better standard than me? I feel like I got a few standards that's worthwhile.
Amen.
People talk about not looking at no preacher. Who are you going to look at? Well, I don't lift up no preacher and put him on no pedestal. Who are you going to lift up and put on a pedestal? Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
How about the liquor store fellow that owns a liquor store down in town?
Right. Amen.
How about the fellow over here in town that decided the Harvey store could sell beer even though it's sitting 50 feet from the church?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I never hear Christians talking about those fellows.
Yeah.
I never heard not one Christian come through the back door of the church. That old Brad Pitt left his wife. Shame on him. He's a terrible fella.
Yeah.
I ain't never heard of nothing like that.
Come on, bro.
Well, that preacher didn't wear a white shirt. I still believe it. Brother Steve, I can go back and listen to a man that doesn't have a white shirt on. I just...
Yeah.
But if Brad Pitt comes out with a new movie next week, you'll be right down there to see it. Johnny Depp, I've got a long ways to go in this sermon. Y'all don't mind if I go on with it, do you?
Oh, great.
I got a little ways to go yet, and I got a lot of stuff to cover. But I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I want you to understand we're dry. Not only is the lost folks out there dry, but we're dry. All you've got the power to do, all you've got the power to do right about now is to go out here in Folkston and Hilliard and St. George and Browntown and knock on somebody's door and make them mad because you got them up a little too early. That's what I see most of the time. Go out and knock on the door. We go out at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning. Go out and knock on people's door and you'll either hear them run. I heard one yesterday going, "You answer. No, you answer." No, go ahead and answer. Go ahead. No, you do it. Mom! And some mother, I have no doubt, and I know I have no doubt at all. I turned around and I saw Brother Steve walking out down the driveway, going over to the house across the street, and I wanted to go, "Brother Steve." I wanted him to come back and listen. I should have known it was going to happen because when we first pulled up into the driveway, they had an electric fence around their flower bed and across the front sidewalk that went up to the front porch. There was just one strand of little wire. I guess it was to keep out the armadillos or the moles or something. I don't know. But that's your first clue to stay out when they put electric fence across the front door. But this is a big old fine, beautiful house. Big old fine, beautiful house. And most of the time, the Lord said, how hard would it be for a rich man to enter in? I believe that. I believe that. Don't make no bones. Listen, I don't go around crying because somebody's got more money than me. I'm not one of these tree huggers and stuff that says we ought to break General Electric and you know, U.S. Gas or U.S. Gas and Oil or BP. I don't let them make all the money they want to. They're going to go to hell one of these days. They may as well enjoy themselves while they're healed. If you can make money, make it. Went up on these rich folks' house, and I have no doubt in my mind that some little rich lady was peeking through the window going, "That's a preacher." "Come here and answer it." And when she opened the door, she said, "Can I help you?" "No, I reckon I can't." That's what you want to say. If only we would say what we wanted to say most of the time. Hand her a gospel tract and a flyer for the church. Come see us sometime if you get over your fear of answering the door. Maybe you can come outside. I don't know. That's about all you can do sometimes. People are dry, though. You come knock on their door at 10 o'clock, they won't be mad over the gospel. You ain't got enough power of God on you to make them mad over the gospel. They'll just be mad you're on their doorstep 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Of course, we ought to know it is a day of rest. Come on, you Southerners. The Sabbath is not Sunday. It's Saturday. It's Saturday. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard in the last 6 months, "This is the Sabbath day." No, it's not the Sabbath day. Today's the first day of the week.
Amen.
That goes along with those fellas that thinks the devil is down in hell sitting on a throne ruling and reigning. That's mysticism. The devil is going to be tormented in hell. He has no throne down there. He has no throne down there. Your dog is not going to be in heaven when you get there. Roy Acuff is not going to be up there, "Come a little closer, sweet Jesus." That's Southern religion there. That you ought to leave that behind. That's a thing of the past. Your grandmother is not going to be there knitting.
She's going to be as young as Jesus Christ is when you get there. And she'll probably have to introduce herself to you. I don't know about that. But this Southern religion. That's why we're so dry. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible. The footsteps is not in the Bible. I told you the story about knocking on that little old lady's house up there in Fancy Gap, Virginia. That's where Brother Rayton's from. And she's out there in the front. I didn't knock on her door. She was out in the front yard when I got there with about 70 of her cousins. And they're all sitting around and eating and doing all kinds of stuff. And she comes out there and meets me halfway. Are you a preacher? That big old Bible. I had Moses' tablets underneath my arm walking in there. You can't sneak up on them like that. She said, are you a preacher? I tell you, I just love preaching. I love the Bible. My favorite verse is that one about them footprints. That's Southern religion right there. That's Southern religion. My goodness. Very dry, he said. Let me get on with this. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, I recommend two things to you that you incorporate in your life and you incorporate them in there today. That's the Word of God and preaching. Amen. Listen, throw away some of them movies you got at the house that's filthy and ungodly and pornographic. Somebody told me the old movies would be better for me to watch if I wanted to be entertained. And I turned on the Turner Classic Movies. And that stuff right there is wickeder than some of the stuff they got out now. They didn't have very close examination, I guess, of some things that they were going on. You turn them things on, you read the description of the movie, financier and Hollywood debutante sneak off against their wife's best wishes. That's wicked stuff right there. I don't care if it's black and white or not. I don't care if it's a silent movie or a talkie or whatever it is. Fornication and adultery and all that stuff is wicked. And it will bring you down. It will make you dry. Need to turn that stuff off. Need to turn it off. It's hurting you. It's hurting your children. You got children at home, be careful what they see. Don't let them turn on cartoons and see a bunch of devils and a bunch of demons and a bunch of wizards and a bunch of stuff fighting one another. Right. Don't let them see that kind of stuff. They don't need to see that kind of stuff. They're going to run into that kind of stuff one of these days as it is. Don't feed it to them.
That's right. Amen.
That television is not a babysitter. And it shouldn't be your babysitter either. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. You know what my message is to you to hear tonight? Hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Open your Bible and read it. If you get off work too late, maybe you ought to find a different job.
Amen.
If your job will not allow you to serve God, quit your job.
Amen.
You say, Brother Mike, you're telling people to quit their job. Your job's telling you to lay out of church. See, in this day and time, we've come to the place where they try to lay guilt trips on the preachers for preaching the way they do. I quit taking the guilt trips. I'm going to start turning it around.
Yeah.
They say, Brother Mike, do you think God would hate somebody enough to send them to hell if they never heard the gospel? Well, let's just turn that around. Do you think a man would hate God enough not to go out and try to find out who He is?
Right.
Let's take God's side for once, shall we?
Right. Amen.
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 Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How much Bible you read this week? You know what I think you should do? I think you should maybe get yourself some preaching tapes or CDs or whatever. If you got an 8-track player, you might could even find some on 8-track. I don't know. But put it in your house and listen to it all day. Listen, sometimes when you go in people's house, you can feel the oppression that's in the house. Because people fuss all day. And then in the background of that fussing all day, you got some little television in the corner that's where people shooting. Listen, if you can find something clean, if you can find something decent, Watch it till the cows come home. But you sit around watching filth and rape and murder and indecency and infidelity day in and day out, and it is hurting your family. It's hurting you. It's hurting you. It's making you dry. It's making you indifferent. It's easy for you to turn on the news now and see all the killing and stuff. Oh, it's just natural. That's normal. It ain't natural. Killing somebody is not normal. Taking a little baby and killing them and dumping them out here in the dumpster in Folkston, that's not normal. People ought to be shedding tears over that stuff. Amen. All people can think about is, did they catch that guy? I wouldn't be worried about catching them. I'd be worried about whether or not that sheriff killed them and it got out or not. I say when you catch them, kill them.
Amen.
Shoot them right there and leave them in the ditch. Leave them where they lay.
Yeah.
Leave them where they lay.
Amen.
We might offend the decency of their rights. If you kill a kid, you have no rights.
Amen. Right.
Turn on the television and see 50 priests indicted for molesting a child. You don't switch them to a different parish. You take them out, build yourself a pine gallows, and hang them suckers. Hang them suckers. Hang them suckers. If they want to take indecent liberties, let them get married.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes. When you mess with a little boy or a little girl, you take their life.
Yes. Amen.
But if we make them pay for their sin, if we make them pay for their crime, oh, we might get the wrong man. They got the wrong man when they got Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nobody worried about that.
That's right.
They got the wrong man when they got Jesus Christ. Nobody complained about that. Where's the people marching down the street with the Jesus Pride parades? Protect the rights of Jesus Christ, who died for, bought, and paid for the world.
Right.
We can't get nothing like that together because we're dry. Very dry.
Right.
Very dry. Very dry. You say you're mad at us, Brother Mike? No, I love you more than I ever have before. Hope you wake up tonight and see this stuff on television is killing you. This stuff on the news is killing you. This stuff in the books you're reading is killing you. Listen, if I didn't read my Bible, I'd be ashamed to read anything else. I got a whole shelf full of books in there. I tried to push some off on Brother Steve yesterday. He wouldn't take them though. But listen, I'd hate to be pushing books on somebody else or reading, you know, this stuff that people like to read today. I don't read stuff. If it ain't about 150 years old, I ain't going to read it. Because I know one way or another they're going to try to slip fornication. They're going to try to slip adultery in there some way or another. They're going to try to poke fun at God. You can't even watch the History Channel without them telling you there ain't no God or we've been here 10 million years. Listen, if we'd been here 10 million years and evolution was true, I'd hope we had got a little bit further than we had in 10 million years. Wouldn't you think that'd be a possibility that we could have got past shooting one another in 10 billion years? Don't that tell you something about the brotherhood of man?
Yeah.
Okay. The brotherhood of man is, I'll come shoot you and take your food if you've got a store, if you got it stored up. The brotherhood of man is, I'll come try to steal your wife if you don't pay very good attention. That's what the brotherhood of man is. You got something I don't have, I'll come steal it from you. That's the brotherhood of man. How in the world did I get off of there? I got to get back on this thing. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, I was saying a while ago, get yourself a stack of CDs about that big and just put it on. You go in people's houses and you can feel the oppression where they've been fussing and fighting. That stuff's over in the corner playing 24 hours a day. And, you know, I would lay in the bed and turn on the NFL channel and watch them boys play football till my eyes just sunk back in my head. And wake up every 15 minutes. And my wife said, feel a lot better if you turn that TV off. What's the matter, you want? I'm the head of this house. You're telling me what to do. We were standing back there one day at the back of the church, and Brother Henry said, you know, there'd be a lot better spirit in your house if there wasn't no TV in your bedroom. That stuff plays 24 hours a day in most of our home, and we walk around like a zombie.
Right. Yep.
We've come to the place in this country, where if a man walks up and pulls out a pistol and starts shooting people, folks stand there and go. Walk up on somebody's porch and knock on their door and say, can I tell you about the Lord?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you can see where they get it. All you got to do is bend their elbows and put a game controller in it. Just walk by and take it out of their hands one day. What'd you do that for? You want to see somebody get mad? Take away their entertainment. You want to see somebody get mad? Let's go down to the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville tonight and preach this message I preached to you. A mad stampede. I've only been invited back to speak in maybe two places. I think Brother Bob Josephs and Brother Alan Ryman is the only person that ever let me preach more than one time.
Right. Yeah.
That's about the size of it. Yeah. People do not want to hear the Word of God. No. You ought to replace all that stuff that's 24 hours in your house with a good old gospel preacher. If I was you, I'd round up the Kingsmen and the Perrys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen.
I throw that junk right in the trash can.
Yes, sir.
I've done struck your southern gospel nerve, haven't I? That stuff has turned the church into a karaoke night.
Oh yeah, preacher. Yeah.
You can't even go to a church and see somebody sing now unless they're going. And then they get their turn, they come up. If I could sing, I'd let you have it. This is not entertainment night.
Right.
This is not karaoke night. This is not top 40 night down at the People's Baptist Church. There is no such thing as top 40 in the Bible.
Amen.
The first time somebody told me that there was a top 40 gospel, I just about fainted. I could not believe it. They said, you hear the new Martin CD? It's number one. Number one what?
Yeah, right.
On the top 40 charts. Was it on the Grand Ole Opry? Y'all think that's funny, but that's where they write all them songs at.
Yeah.
You know what, good old Hank Williams, you know what his first job was in Nashville, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Writing gospel music for southern gospel singers. Yeah. That's the same man that drunk himself into a devilish stupor and died in the back of an old whatever it was. You think they've changed their mode of operation? Not as long as they can make money. They'll come tell you the same jokes next year. They'll come sing the same old songs and tell the same old jokes and take your money as long as you'll let them do it.
Right.
And you ain't going to do nothing about it because you dry.
Right.
You dry. Dry. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Listen, hear the word of the Lord. Hear some preaching. Get some preaching. Trade that stuff for the preaching. I got to close this message out. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I want you to notice verse 6, and we'll be done. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall live.
Amen. Yes, sir.
ye shall live. Some of you folks, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you, you'll get some life in you. Life is good. You ought to try living it sometime. You ought to be able to walk out on your front porch over there in the middle of nowhere, Brother Ralph, and stretch your arms out and say, thank God, thank God, thank God I'm free from the bondage of this old world.
Amen.
You know it's bondage. People, listen, people drive to their workplace and they're miserable all day, and they come home from the workplace and they run just as fast as they possibly can to get tied up to that old one-eyed monster and just sit there and vegetate.
Yes.
Little boys are going to their part-time job and coming home just as fast as they possibly can to sit down in front of the PlayStation and just sit there.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to read my Bible, preacher. I'd like to pray for old brother so-and-so, but I just don't have time to pray for him. What's it going to take to help Folkston? The hand of the Lord is going to have to get on you. God is going to have to call you up from a graveyard of fools. He can do it.
Amen.
He can do it.
Yes, he can.
He certainly can. Ye shall know. Listen. Ye shall live and ye shall know. I like that. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Amen.
Blessed assurance.
Yes, sir.
Ye shall live and ye shall know.
Yeah, right.
That I am the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for Your goodness. Thank You, dear God, for Your mercy. I just, Lord, don't know what I'd do had You not been merciful enough to me to show me my dry condition. God, help me not to live this next 40 like I did the first 40. God, help me. Deliver me from this mess, this bondage down here on this earth. God, give us a church full of folks that wants to get out of bondage. Give us a church full of folks that want to draw nigh to You and draw close to You. God, help us right now to get rid of our pride. God, help us to lay our pride aside and come down to an old-fashioned altar and pour our hearts out to You and ask You and beg You for help. God, help us. God, lead us. God, deal with our hearts. We'll thank You for what You do. Would You come now? Some's already here. Would You come? Say, God, help me. I don't want to be dry. I don't want to be dry. I don't want to be dry. Would you come? Brother Steve's going to come. He's going to lead you in a few verses. You stand and sing with him. Come if the Lord's dealing with your heart.
357 is thy heart right with God. Have thine affections been nailed?